Got a quiz for you. You are the head of human relations in a company that is located on an island where everybody on the island either tells the truth 100% of the time or lies 100% of the time. Either or. You need to hire somebody for the business that you're working for, and the only requirement is they have to be a truth teller. Now again, either lie or you tell the truth. No in between. First person that comes to your desk says, while I was standing in line, the guy behind me told me he's a liar. I suggest that you don't hire him. Do you hire the first person?
No. He's a liar.
How do you know? How do you know?
If he's a liar, he's a liar, always lie. The person in your island either tells the truth all the time or lies all the time. Says he's a liar.
He's lying. And if he's, but it's a true statement, but he's all, has to be lying.
Right. But he,
in other words, he cannot make that statement.
The liar can't make the statement.
Exactly. So therefore, the first person's lying. This morning we were dealing with Mary. Mary was seeking to discern truth. But the truth she was seeking is this the revelation that I've heard God's word or isn't it? Our story tonight deals with Joseph. His question is, what a person is telling me, is it true or false? So how do you discern if a person is telling the truth or not? Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. The question is, how do you evaluate truth? The story goes this way. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or secretly. Matthew doesn't give us much detail as to what transpired. I want to suggest a possibility of what took place. I can only say this is a possibility. I think it might even be a probability, but that's as far as I can go. We do know from Luke's gospel that after Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive, the very next verse where she said, be it unto me according to thy word, the next verse says that she took off for Elizabeth's house with haste. She was out of there. I tend to believe that she never even said anything to Joseph. Now, understand that a Jewish wedding custom, the groom would go to the bride's father, make a covenant with him, pay a price for his bride. He would go back to his own home to prepare a place for the two of them to live. It could be a matter of a couple of months. It could be a matter of up to a year until he would come back for his bride. They are in that betrothal period. More than likely, Joseph hasn't seen Mary for a while. Nothing unusual about that. And so for her taking off and spending 3 months with Elizabeth and Zacharias, no big deal. But now she comes back because it's time for Elizabeth to give birth. She's not going to be in the way. She's 3 months pregnant. Her first child, with the way they dressed in those days, her pregnancy may not be outwardly noticeable. But undoubtedly, at this point in time, she tells Joseph the story of what has happened between Gabriel and her, the incarnation of Christ, and what's been going on more than likely with Elizabeth and Zacharias. And Joseph has to decide, is Mary telling me the truth? Well, how do you discern? Well, here's Mary. We know that she was a virgin. She was a virtuous woman. Undoubtedly, she had a testimony of telling the truth on a consistent basis. And I don't think that Joseph would have been betrothed to her if she was a habitual liar. But here she comes with this testimony of God overshadowed me. I wasn't unfaithful. No man was involved in this. This pregnancy is of God. Sure. When have you ever heard of something like that? On one hand, good character. On the other hand, a lousy story as far as ever happening before. Now, it's a wonderful story, but never in history before. And how do you reach a reasonable conclusion? And according to verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, how do I act justly to her, righteously? I want to do what is right, according to the law, according to the will of God. Being a just man and not willing. The word willing there is the Greek word thelo, which means desiring. Desiring to make her a public example. Here's the woman I love. I don't want to embarrass her. But she must have been unfaithful. What else could it be? He was minded to put her away. The word minded there is the other Greek word that is most often translated willing. In this case, determining. He had determined to put her away. All right. Her testimony, what's normal, normal wins out. I must act justly. I don't want to embarrass her. I'll just give her a bill of divorcement and she can go off. And that'll be the end of it. While he thought upon these things, what things? Well, I think the question that was rolling around in his mind was, I have a problem here. I want to do what the law of God says. What does the law of God say in such a circumstance? Now remember, the people are still under the Mosaic ordinances. Keep your finger here. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, which at this point, legally speaking, Mary was, although they hadn't consummated the marriage yet. Even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Uh-oh. There's a problem, though. Who's the guy? Mary said there wasn't one. And I think this is the problem in John chapter 8, where you have the woman who was taken in the very act by the Pharisees and brought to Christ. He does something in the dirt. Most people think he was writing, "Where's the man?" Well, maybe he was writing Leviticus 20:10. You don't have a man. They both need to be put to death. And so, consequently, you cannot justly execute her because there's no man there. Well, wait a minute. That's not the only law. Turn over a couple of pages to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And verse 20. Verse 19. It's talking about a man who marries a wife, and they come together. He finds no pleasure in her, apparently because she's not a virgin. Verse 19, and they shall immerse him 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, if it can be proven that the damsel was a virgin, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, he may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of her virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die. Well, wait a minute. Obviously, she's pregnant. Well, she can't be a virgin, can she? But she says she is. So we can't do this test. What are we going to do? In the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses. Well, what do you have? You have the witness of Mary saying, "I'm innocent." You have the witness of history saying, "I don't think so." But that's only one witness on either side. How do you decide? Well, come back Matthew chapter 1. But while he thought on these things, what am I going to do? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Witness number 2. Saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, just like she said. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 22 is a debatable verse, whether this is commentary by Matthew or whether this is a continuation of what this angel said in the dream. I tend to think it was a continuation of the angelic announcement. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Witness number 3. Mary's testimony, the angel's testimony, Scripture's testimony. Case solved. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was absolutely obedient to what the angel told him to do, and even went farther, necessarily so, of preserving Mary's virginity until Christ was born. After that, their relationship was a normal marriage relationship. He discerned the truth. Two things I want us to take away from this tonight. When there are times when you're saying, this person says this, this person says that, or this just doesn't seem right, and you have to make a decision. Make no decisions. I can't even read my own handwriting until you have all the facts. Well, I was on the internet today and I saw this, and this person is saying something different. Certainly the internet's right. But I saw it on the news as well. No. We tend to hear something. We tend to see something. What is it? Don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And we don't investigate things. But I heard it from a reputable source. Well, Mary was a reputable source. And he didn't believe her. It can go either way. I'm thankful that Joseph fought on these things. A little bit different from Mary. Mary was, okay, is this of the Lord or not? Joseph is this truth or not? A little bit different, but nonetheless the same. And by the way, where it says here in verse 20, but while he thought, the word there literally means to ponder. He's taking both things. How can both of these be true? Can't be. That just doesn't make sense. Make sure you investigate and get all the facts. Get two or three witnesses or more. And then, if you're still uncertain, number two, call on the one who cannot lie. Lord, I've got a problem here. I don't know what to do. Lead me in truth. Joseph had a dream. Does God still use dreams? And the answer is yes, he can. Now understand, dreams will never be revelatory. I went to bed last night, I had a dream, and God spoke to me, this is going to happen in the future. No. I had a dream last night, and God moved my heart to do something. Yes. Can God do that in a dream? Yes, he can. How does God, the Holy Spirit, move us to do things? He can use dreams. He can put thoughts into our minds or into our hearts. He can use the people around us to guide us. But he will never, ever lie. But here's the key. Can you have a dream that will lead you astray? Oh, yeah. If you have a pepperoni pizza before going to bed, you might have one. You always have to come back to the Word of God, just as the angel said, now all this was done to fulfill what Isaiah said. Dreams will only be validated by the Word of God, because God cannot lie. Wish we lived in a world where everybody told the truth. Or everybody even lied, because we could pick them out real quickly. But we don't. But God gives us the ability find out what's true and what's not. And He always is. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Son of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank You for the Spirit of God, who is also the Spirit of truth. Lord, we just praise You for the fact that we can know things with certainty and then accomplish great things because of it. Lead us in Your truth, that we might be used for Your glory in the very same way that You used Joseph and Mary 2,000 years ago. And we'll praise You as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.